Hello and welcome to Zihumura Show, a podcast dedicated to sharing the beauty of Africa with you and with the rest of the world. My name is Humura Ruth and I host this podcast channel. Now today I am going to be sharing with you one of Africa's most beautiful tourist destinations, and I think it is an internationally recognized travel destination to visit. Honestly, in my humble opinion, I do believe it is. And that is the Masai Mara Reserve in Kenya. So it is known as the Masai Mara Reserve, but I believe the Kenyan population refer to it as the Mara. The reserve in itself is part of the Serengeti ecosystem, which is a region you'll find in northern Tanzania and southern Kenya, because Kenya and Tanzania border each other. Tanzania is south of Kenya. Kenya is north of Tanzania. I think I said it right, yeah. And so in that Serengeti ecosystem, you'll find the Masai Mara Reserve, which is what we're going to cover today, the Serengeti National Park, the Gumreti Reserve, Game Reserve, which is a corridor for the Great Migration, and the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, which is home to the Ngorongoro Crater, which is a volcanic caldera that has a lot of wildlife around it. Now, the Masai Mara is one of the largest game reserves in Kenya. It is not the largest. I believe the largest is the Tsavo. I think so. But it is one of the largest game reserves in Kenya. It has a large population of so many animals. If you love wildlife, if you love safaris, that sort of thing, I think the Masai Mara is a place you'd want to visit. Kenya in general, and so many other African countries, Kenya, Uganda, South Africa, like, they have such huge amounts of animals that for you to see, and they have some pretty amazing safaris that can be organized that you would enjoy, because I also believe having a well-organized safari makes everything so much better, as opposed to having something that's not comfortable, convenient for you. So they have large populations of lions, African bush elephants, which I believe are the largest land animal. You have the leopards, the cheetahs, the rhinos, the giraffes, the zebras. You think of it, it's probably in the Masai Mara. Except, of course, you know, animals that are probably not native to Africa, or, I don't know, may not for some reason be in the Masai Mara, but most probably it will be there. So, and it is also home to one of the 10 wonders of the world and one of the 7 wonders of Africa, which is the Great Wild Beast Migration. I think if you've been, I believe everyone has watched TV, but if you've seen a little bit of wildlife on TV or just ever been interested in that, you've probably seen or heard of a great wild beast migration, which is essentially when about 2 million animals move from the Serengeti in Tanzania to the Masai Mara in Kenya in search of pasture and food. So they move there. When they feed and they're done in the Masai Mara, they move back to the Serengeti. And usually the wild beasts give birth in the Serengeti. Then when the food is depleted in the Serengeti, they move back up. But it's such a beautiful thing to witness, because you have about 2 million animals moving. And there's a lot of obstacles on their way. They have to pass through rivers that are filled with crocodiles. Sometimes they get eaten up. Not sometimes, more often than not, they get eaten up. A few of them get eaten up, or maybe many of them get eaten up, because you're looking at 2 million animals. And then there's overcrowding. There are those which get exhausted and they, you know, give up on the way. It's just very entertaining to see. And you can be able to see that in Kenya. You can also be able to see that in the Masai Mara Reserve. We'll get into that later. Now, the reserve in itself was named out of respect and honor for the Masai people. The Masai are native to Kenya and Tanzania, and I did a special podcast episode covering the Masai of Kenya and Tanzania. So they're also Nilotes, and they're related to the Kalenjin, whom I also covered in this podcast. The Kalenjin produce some of the world's greatest runners. I think if you've seen the Olympics and you've seen runners in the world, many of them are, you know, from Kenya and Eastern Uganda, and they usually come from the Kalenjin group. So I've also covered them. So the Masai found in Kenya and Tanzania, just to repeat that. And in fact, when you think about it, because the Serengeti, where the Great Wild Beast Migration starts from, is about 150 kilometers away, about, not exactly, about 150 kilometers away from the Masai Mara. So it's somewhat near to each other or somewhat far from each other. I don't know how you look at distance. But yes, so they are neighbors to each other, because Tanzania borders Kenya to the south. Now, we know that Maasai are an ethnic group. Then you have the other part, Mara, in the name Maasai Mara. Mara means spotted. So I think the name came from, I'm not sure about this, I've heard about it, but I'm not really sure about it. But it comes from the fact that they spotted this large area with, you know, acacia trees, savannas, and wildlife. So it became the Maasai Mara. I am not sure. You can confirm that for yourself. There is also this belief that is named after the Mara River, which flows through the Maasai Mara Game Reserve in Kenya to the Serengeti National Park in Tanzania. So there's also that belief. And then that river ends up in Lake Victoria in Uganda. So there's that interconnection. So, and that river is where the wild beast migration sort of passes through, because the animals have to cross that river, and it's really dangerous for them to cross it because they have to fight their way through steep cliffs. There are crocodiles, and there's extortion, and there's overcrowding. So there's that in itself. Now, a little bit about its history. The reserve was established first in 1961, but back then it was known as a wildlife sanctuary that only covered about 200 square miles. Today, it covers about 580 square miles, which is about 1,510 square kilometers. It is home to a large population of animals. That is no secret. I've talked about this before. You see the big five are all there, and the other animals as well. They're even Maasai giraffes. You can be able to see them. The black rhinos, the white rhinos, the hippos, the antelopes of, you know, different species. You can find them there. It is also home to about 450 bird species. So you have the eagles, the vultures, ostriches, water birds. So many birds are there as well. And you have reptiles. One pretty famous reptile is the Nile crocodile, which I think is dangerous. But it is there as well. It is one of, I think it's the world's second largest crocodile. It can weigh more than a ton, so that's really heavy, and it can grow up to 14 feet in length. So, I don't know if anyone can tame that thing, but yeah, they're there, they're monitor lizards, and lots of snake species as well. There are also insect species in the Maasai Mara. But I think one of the reasons why this reserve is so popular, aside from the abundance of wildlife and the luxurious accommodation, which we'll get into, is the fact that it hosts the great wild beast migration. Let's talk a little bit about the wild beast migration. So it is the largest animal migration in the world. Apparently, you can actually see the animals from space, but I've never proved that, obviously, but apparently you could, because you have 2 million animals moving. I think you can see that from space, and I also believe you can also see the Great Sedine Migration, which happens in South Africa from space, because there you have about, is it 3 million sedines? About 3 to 2 million sedines migrating from one place to another, so you can see them from space. I think that would be a dream for people who love sedines. To be able to see all of that, they'll be like seeing food moving around. But anyway, back to the great wild beast migration. So for months every year, about 2 million animals, mostly wild beasts, zebras and gazelles or gazelles, I don't know how to pronounce it, they migrate across the Serengeti Mara ecosystem as they search for grazing and water, as they search for pasture and water, some people like to say. So the journey starts in the southern Serengeti region, particularly the Ndutu region, and that is found in Tanzania. So this is where the wild beast will give birth to their young ones, and it's essentially that's where the calving season begins. Calving, I don't know what it's called, calving, when you have calves, when animals give birth, that's where the season begins from, and that's about between January to March. And it's because that area, the Ndutu region, by that time it has plenty of pasture, there are fewer predators, so it makes a lot of sense as to why the wild beast would give birth there. And the Ndutu region is between the Ngorongoro Conservation Area and the Serengeti National Park. Now the thing is, they give birth in the Ndutu region after migrating from the Maasai Mara, but let's get back on track. So they start from the southern Serengeti. And then as the dry season approaches, of course, the pastures dry up, so they need food. Then they decide to move upwards or northwards, because remember, Kenya is above Tanzania on the map. Now, that's when the animals pass through the western part of the Serengeti, and they move ahead towards the Grumeti River, which runs alongside the Grumeti Game Reserve. And we talked about that game reserve being a part of the Serengeti ecosystem. Now, of course, on their journey, the animals face a number of challenges. When crossing the Grumeti River in particular, they face Nile crocodiles. Like I said, these animals are the world's largest crocodiles. They weigh up to a ton, can grow up to 14 feet in length, and like every other predator, they love food. So there's that danger. Two, there are strong currents in the river sometimes, especially during the rainy season. So it becomes sort of like an obstacle course for them. And not just Nile crocodiles waiting for them. I forgot to mention, they also have other animals waiting for them, like lions and hyenas. They're also waiting for them. Then you also have stampedes, which is not surprising, given the fact that these animals move in hundreds of thousands. Now, imagine doing that in a river filled with crocodiles and strong currents, and then you're so many together. I mean, don't imagine yourself as an animal, but just imagine that happening. Obviously, some die, and their journey ends just like that. Then after crossing the Grumeti River, they arrive into the Masai Mara National Reserve for you to watch. And that's usually between the months of July and October. So you might want to go there during that time. So once they're in the Masai Mara, they find good pastures to feed on, they find water, and they just lounge around. But still, even when they're not in the Masai Mara, even when the migration into Masai Mara is not going on, there's still wildlife for you to see and to explore. So it's okay to visit even during the other months. Now, when the pasture gets depleted in the Masai Mara, they move back southward and then they do it all over again. So that's how it works. Each animal that is successful in the migration can cover between about 800 to 1,000 kilometers. Now, it is up to you to choose which side you want to witness the migration. But for today's episode, we have been looking at it from the Masai Mara side. But you can also, you know, see it from the side in Tanzania in the Serengeti. All right, now let's get into some of the activities you can do while there. All right, now let me give you about four activities that you can do in the Masai Mara, and I believe you'll love every one of them, at least if you go prepared and you have a good if you're staying at a nice place where they what I'm trying to say, if you have it well planned out and you have like a good company organizing it for you, or you know how to organize these things yourself, I am sure you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. First things, okay, it's not the first thing, but you could do this. You could go on a hot air balloon. Now, that is beautiful because above the ground, you'll be able to have a spectacular aerial view of the reserve. You'll see the forests, the savannas, and the best part, the wildlife. Now, if you visit between the months of July and October, you'll get a good chance to witness the Great Migration. You'll see lions hunting, doing their thing, fighting for their food. You'll see hyenas doing what they do best. I just realized that hyenas are not actually very nice. I was going to say people, but they're not nice animals. I've been reading about hyenas and I realized there's somewhat of a bad side to them. Especially there's a kind, I've forgotten its name, but it laughs at you when it's, okay, not at you, but it laughs at its prey when it's tearing it apart. Like, that's really, really dark when you think about it. You don't have to laugh about it. But anyway, you can be able to see them. If you look hard enough, apparently you'll be able to see the leopards relaxing in the trees. That's their sport. So if you ever chased by a leopard, never run to the tree. But that's never going to happen unless you do something weird. But that's never going to happen. I've never heard of that happening and it will never happen to you. So take that from me. And if you're in a hot air balloon, why would they jump up there? Anyway, I don't know how we went to that part in the conversation, but if you're thinking of doing a hot air balloon, I will give you a price, but this is not the exact price. But usually a hot air balloon safari over the Masai Mara costs about $450 per person. Now, it depends on where you book it from, but sometimes the price will include transportation to and from your camp or lodge, the National Reserve landing fees, a bush breakfast, which might be champagne style, and about an hour inside the balloon. So you spend like an hour. If it depends on where you book it from. It's not exact what I'm giving you. Another activity you can do is you can meet the Maasai people. You can visit a manyata, which is what a Maasai village is called, and meet them. So I think meeting people is always fun if you love people, if you're extroverted, or if you just love people. It would be a wonderful thing for you to do. So these are semi-nomadic pastoralists, and many of them still live by herding cows and goats. And I just have to remind you that I covered them on this podcast channel, so I won't go too deep into them. So they eat raw meat, some of them, not everyone. Raw meat, they drink milk and the blood of their cattle. That's a tradition that you find in different parts of Africa. And they're really, really, really brave. Their Maasai warriors are really brave. One time, in fact, you can look for this yourself. You can see Maasai warriors warding off lions like one would ward off a dog. Like how you say go, like they're able to do that to lions. If you don't believe me, you can look for the videos. I think there's one on YouTube that is titled Human Planet Stealing Meat from Lions. Or you can just look for Maasai warriors, you know, stealing meat from lions. So they know how to defend themselves against these animals, and they know how to take meat from these animals. And the thing is, they do it with so much grace. At least that video of stealing meat from lions, it was so graceful. They were so calm. It wasn't, they weren't fighting, and the lions look scared. And I don't know how they do that, but yeah, so you could get to meet them. They also dress beautifully in their traditional style that is very colorful. Their outfits are known as shuka. And if you're lucky, you can meet them and get to know them. And I'm sure you'd love it. Then you can also see the wildlife. It's the Maasai Mara Game Reserve. If you did not come to see the wildlife, I don't know what you went there to do. Maybe to just enjoy the facilities. But honestly, everybody would want to see the wildlife, especially if you're planning a trip there. So there are about 850 to 900 lions living in the reserve. It's basically the Lion King. You'll see Mufasa, you'll see Uncle Scar. Everyone is there. They also have the largest land animal on the planet. I think I say that, the African elephant, which, by the way, can weigh about 6 tons. And it eats 300 pounds of food every day. That's a lot of food. You can also see the white and black rhinos. But the black rhinos are not that many. They're about 50, or there could be more in the reserve. The white rhinos, on the other hand, are larger in terms of size compared to the black rhinos, but the black rhinos are more aggressive and they live in solitary. But see, they see that about people. Smaller people can be more aggressive. So, but these ones, they live in solitary, and it is believed that because of their poor eyesight, black rhinos attack almost anything. But they do have a good sense of hearing and smell, so maybe that could help them out when they, whatever they're doing, whatever it is they're doing. Then you can also obviously go on a safari. So obviously you go on a safari to see the wildlife. But you might have a morning safari because many animals like to have their breakfast earlier on in the day. So you might want to go for a morning safari, which would be about between 2 to 3 hours. And depending on where you're staying, different accommodations have different activities. And also different companies offer different activities and different itineraries. So, you know, some might give you, in addition to like a morning safari, a guided nature walk, a bush picnic. It all depends on what you choose from. Now, speaking of accommodation, let's get into that. Now, when it comes to accommodation, there's several options for you to choose from. Don't just only base on what I've given you. Because I've given you, I think, a little bit pricier accommodation, a little bit more on the luxurious side. But there are different accommodation options for you depending on your budget. You just have to go and dive in deeper. I couldn't cover all the accommodation facilities on this podcast episode. It would make the episode really, really long. Now, let's start with one of the most popular, quite luxurious as well. It is the Governor's Camp. It's a luxury tented camp accommodation. And the best part, it is located on the banks of the Mara River, which means you could actually see the Great Migration live. It has 30 tents on the riverbanks. One is a safari suite, 21 are classic safari tents, and 8 are family tents, so you can come in with your family. Now, prices change all the time, so fast ask, but they usually start at about $412 per person per night. There's the Eagle View Camp. It is also luxurious, but it has 9 tents. It has no fencing, so it is recommended that you have guests aged 7 years and above. And it is also elevated, hence the name Eagle. So you have panoramic views of nature. It's quite beautiful as well. And it is located in a private conservancy, so you get more exclusive experiences. And it's not as pricey as Governor's Camp, but it is quite close because prices start at about $399 per person per night. But that is also an estimate. Now let's step it up because the next one is a little pricier. Its prices start at about $1,000 per person per night. and it is called the Mahali, Missouri. It's a luxurious camp. Mahali, Missouri means beautiful place. And it is also the only, I think it's among the only five camps that are allowed to operate in the Olare Motorogi Conservancy. So this conservancy has two lion prides, which means you have, I think, about 40 lions for you to watch. And it also has a large population of hyenas, cheetahs, jackals, leopards, and so much wildlife. Plus, there's about, I believe, 150 wild beasts living within the conservancy. So there's that. So it's a camp. It has 12 luxurious suites, which for $1,000, you'd like it. And there's the best camp, Masai Mara. It's a lovely riverside camp whose price is set at about $249 per person per night. It was visited by Barack Obama in 2006, so I think that means it's good. There's also the Mara Expedition Camp, which is somewhat surrounded by African ebony trees. So if you love that vibe, you can go there. Its prices start from about $835 per person per night. There's the Angare Serian Safari Camp. And what you might love about this one is that it's smaller. It has only four tented rooms, but it is quite lovely. And it is found on the edge of the Mara River. So you also get to see hippos playing around in the water. It's smaller. I think less tourists around you. If you don't like people that much, there's that. But I love people, so there's that too. And the camp also employs more Maasai people, I think. So, and those people are really warm and inviting and lovely, so you'd like that. And it also has, I believe, a treehouse, which is known as the Nest. And the treehouse overlooks the Maasai River quite directly. So you might like that. But like I said, there's so many other options. You can go and search for them and you see what works for you. You can reach out to people and get to know, you know, how to plan your safari, how to plan your visit to the Masai Mara, and have a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, lastly, let's talk about getting there. So if you're coming in from Nairobi, which I'm assuming, but you may not necessarily coming from Nairobi, but if you are and you wanted to fly to Masai Mara, the flight should be about 40 to 45 minutes. If you're using road, if you're driving, that's going to take you about 6 to 7 hours to get there. But like I always say, if you have the money, fly in. Then if you're flying in to the Masai Mara, there are three airlines you can use. You could choose Air Kenya, you could choose Safari Link, or you can go for Governor's Aviation. But you might have to pick your airline based on your chosen accommodation, because different accommodations have different airstrip preferences. So have that in mind. And I should also mention that Governor's Aviation, is only for guests staying at Governor's Camp. So that's why you might want to be sure and check with your different facility where you're going to stay and enjoy your time in the Masai Mara Reserve. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I actually do enjoy talking about this. I don't know why I don't make this a full-time career, but this is wonderful. I love sharing Africa with you, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope you learned a thing or two about, you know, the Masai Mara, and I hope that makes you want to visit, and I hope you share this with your friends, because I really, for me deep down, I would really love to see tourism being boosted in Africa, because then it also in turn helps our economy, and we have a lot to offer that a lot of people may not be able to realize. But anyway, enough of that. I will see you next time when we cover another wonderful place to visit in Africa. But in the meantime, if you'd love to connect, please do not hesitate. My Instagram handle is @humura_ruth. Humura is spelled as humura_ruth. Twitter @humura_ruth. And my website is zhumura.com. Zhumura is spelled as zhumura.com. And on LinkedIn, my handle is Mbaba Zhumura Ruth. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening in.